You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
The sure bet is on the Canopy Group. Everyone is going mad in March trying to narrow the field down to 16. It's as simple as that. Options. Life is all about having options. Ricey here for the Canopy Group, and they have the Savory 16. The Canopy Group has 16 different insurance companies, giving them options to provide you the best home and auto insurance coverage at the best price. The difference is at the Canopy Group, their tournament never ends. They continue to use their 16 different companies to match you with the company providing the best coverage at the best price, and they do this year in and year out. Get in the game. Contact the Canopy Group and get them working on your brackets. Bracketology isn't foolproof. The sure bet is on the Canopy Group, saving you an average of $810 on your home and auto insurance annually. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com and they will check out your options.
Always fun, crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Welcome back from Fargo, Mr. Puck.
Yes, it was a fine game. Two very good teams, and until they got the 3-1 goal, you weren't sure. The Huskies had a wide open net that would have made it 2-2 about halfway through the second period. I don't know how the guy shot the puck into the side of the net instead of into the net, but that happens, I guess. It's a frantic time. And then after that, as I pointed out, they got the goal to go ahead 3-1. The number three overall choice in the NHL won the draw. Fed the puck to a second-round draft choice who got a screen from a second-round draft choice to score the 3-1 goal. They got some talent on that outfit.
Oh, God. That first line we talked about.
They got, not only them, they got defensemen they don't know what to do with. They dress seven of them, and Koster's looks a little undersized, but I don't know. The rest of them they're going to. Yeah, how many guys will be playing in the NHL next month? There won't be much time.
Faber, Knies. Cooley,
I don't think
what's going to happen with
they
him.
Don't think he's going to go. But even if he does, he's going to wait. But
yes,
but the
Lacombe,
who's got his
Anaheim.
Now, they won't make the playoffs, so
they're terrible.
He'll play if he plays, it'll be one game, right?
Yeah, and so, they might not want to burn the first year of his contract, but he could step in.
Yes,
he would have no problem.
He could, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's right.
He'll step in and be one of their better defensemen.
Nisel, is Toronto going to make the playoffs?
Oh God, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, he'll be on that. He'll be there with them.
Yeah, he is going to. He's going to walk into a situation where the pressure is going to be immense. He's seen as like a savior to Toronto.
Are they getting big pub up there?
Oh, God. He's been getting big pub for a year and a half, not 2 years.
Matsko told me he'd actually like to come back, but he doesn't think Toronto will let him.
He's got no chance.
No. I mean, they want him to. It doesn't really. They're going to lose five, six guys, seven guys, but what they got coming in is, they got her going for sure.
Gopher hockey's back.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. Apparently, this Steve Miller guy, I don't know what a good recruiter is, but he's like a hockey genius.
Really?
Yeah, he's been an assistant all around. And when he decided he was going to leave, where was it? Wherever it was, it was five or six teams trying to hire him, I guess, to be an assistant. And Matsko got him here, but he sees all and he knows everybody. So I think he's more of a tactician genius than he is a recruiter. But he's got he's obviously got the recruiters, Matsko. So I wonder, his ace recruiter ended up at is the new coach at Augustana. Are they starting next year?
That I don't know.
I think they're starting next year. You're not. It's not like they're going to be stealing players from the Gophers, right. But that Rob Owen, or the guy who was with him in St. Cloud, Rob Owen.
Garrett Reboyne, yeah.
Yeah, he's the head coach down there. But I don't know. It'll be an upset if they lose.
Yeah, it'll be a big disappointment. Big disappointment this time around.
Yeah.
BU's good.
Last time you kind of, you know, you thought Mankato was better than them. You didn't know if they were 5-1 better like right. They were last year. But who's BU? Who ended up finally at BU after they got rid of the guy that was there for 100 years? Who's the BU coach? Do we know?
Pandolfo. The guy, he's got that played in the league. I think he was with, like, Boston or something.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he's their coach. Because Quinn was there, right? And mm-hmm. he left for the Ranger job.
Yes.
And now he's with the Sharks.
You ever been to that campus? It's Commonwealth Avenue, goes right through the middle of it, the train. It is an urban campus mm-hmm. in a big town. The arena's like nothing special. It's amazing how well they do. You know, Boston College out there on the hill.
Oh, God, yeah.
Picturesque. Boston, and
they got money out
think
there.
About money, and yet BU hangs in there with them. So,
yep.
You know, if they decided on a system for their winter hockey tournament, mm-hmm. the Gophers, St. Cloud, Mankato, Bemidji, and UMD, if they decided on a system, or if they just had the guts to throw Bemidji out, just say, sorry, fellas, go play somebody else,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
If they just made it, UMD, St. Cloud, Mankato, Gophers, and they gave it a good name, like the Herbie.
The Herbie, you've been
what at. What if it succeeded? Because I insist the Bean Pot is a success because they call it the Bean Pot. So I'm going to the Bean Pot.
Well,
you know, I'm not. If they had to say,
yeah.
I'm going to the Boston Metro playoff winter classic. Nobody go, but they get to go to the Bean Pot.
It's
here they gave it some dumbass title, the Minnesota something, you know.
The Bean Pot's genius, too, because it's played on Mondays, consecutive Monday
yes,
nights.
Yes, right.
So they didn't try and shoehorn it into a weekend.
Yes, that's true.
The Bean Pot is so well done, yes, but they the idea of the North Star Cup, like the tournament idea
yes.
was great, they crapped
they
on
screwed
it.
Up. They screwed it up awful.
We used to talk about the idea, and that's when you said, call it the Herbie.
Call it the Herbie. Well, but then he never had anything in UMD. He loved all hockey. He's got a statue in front of the building.
Yeah.
He doesn't make any difference if he never coached UMD or Bemidji or I don't know.
I'm with you. I was with you then. With you now.
My other idea, which is not far-fetched. Uh-huh. For college hockey, Steel North Dakota for the Big Ten. Tuscaloosa. It's the Tuscaloosa of college hockey, Grand Forks. And they, you know, they got Notre Dame as mm-hmm. a one-off. They got Johns Hopkins and La Crosse as a one-off, which there's only five or six teams. But you go get North Dakota and you got an eight-team league then. They got to get an eight-team league because it's stupid. The Gophers, I think it was an advantage against St. Cloud. St. Cloud, the weekend of the Big Ten quarterfinals, UMD was ending it. I mean, St. Cloud was ending its season with a regular season series against UMD. And then the Gophers get to play in the semifinals of the Big Ten, one game
yes.
against Michigan State. Meanwhile, St. Cloud has a three-game war with UMD, which is attempting to advance, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's a bad mistake by that NCHC. They want to draw people and sell tickets, but I think that should be a one-off, don't you think? Instead of a best of three, oof.
But I'm with you. The Big Ten, that's always been my thing with the Big Ten. They needed more schools to trigger it, or they should have had more schools, and now they still need more schools.
Yes, they do.
And I think you got to stop waiting for Iowa, Illinois, and Nebraska.
And then if they were to start, you'd have to wait 6 years for them to be worth it.
North Dakota would be great, but they're too cheap. They don't want to share the money.
No, that's the trouble. And then you're getting this god-awful football coming in. Give...
give.
I love that idea.
Give North Dakota $15 million to switch. Yep. You know, and guarantee them so much.
And that's how basically a professional program, which is what makes it great.
Yes, they're not happy right now with. I'd say good old Brad Berry has about one more year, and they'll run him out. But if they stay this mediocre. But the other possibility, and I don't know about Arizona State, but the other possibility is both North Dakota and Denver, and then maybe Arizona State becomes the 10th. But they don't like Arizona State for the trip, but once they get there, they like it. There's a break in the middle of the winter.
I was going to say, who doesn't like teams don't?
The teams. I don't think the coaches do. You know, that they got to make that trip down there and back and fly.
You used to have to go to Alaska.
Yeah, I know, but Penn State that's a long hump.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's a pain.
Yes, it is.
Arizona State's a great trip.
But don't get Arizona State as your eighth team. That adds no class.
I like your North Dakota,
That adds no class. And then Mankato just steps in and replaces North Dakota, and they're okay. But if they lose Denver, then I don't know if Denver would have the guts to leave Colorado College, but maybe they would. I don't know, but I don't think we're done shuffling in college hockey. That this is what we have now is permanent as far as leagues are concerned.
Yeah, and I will say this: that first round of NCAA regionals was troubling.
Oh, the Big Ten 36 goals, the opposition 4.
Yeah.
Now Jess had me on the competitive Rink Live podcast on Saturday.
I saw, yeah.
And I had to give him a little history lesson. I gave a history lesson. The first hockey game I ever listened to was the Gophers on the Big Neighbor, WCCO, playing RPI for the national championship. And they were in Broadmoor in March of 54. Okay. So I would have been 8 years old. And I remember listening to it, and I don't know why, because we weren't exactly living and dying with Gopher hockey. But the Gophers, we love the Gophers, and they had a chance to win a national championship. So on the radio, I was listening to it. So 5 years ago, I went to look at some stuff from then. And that was back when it was a four-team tournament in the Broadmoor Arena. And they just picked two teams from the East and two teams from the West. You know, the West was the WCHA. That was it.
Right.
And then the East had maybe 20 teams or something. But the West was kicking their ass so badly then that Michigan was so much better than everybody out there. And the big topic of conversation at the Friday, at the they were big on luncheons back then. The Thursday
Blue
luncheon.
Blue Line Clubs, baby.
Yeah, the Thursday luncheon was, should the West, the WCHA, start deciding their championship by playing Canadian college teams instead of the non-competitive East?
Okay.
There were stories like this, and it was a big topic, apparently. You know, should we, University of Manitoba instead of Colgate or somebody, whoever was playing hockey. And then RPI upset Michigan in one of the greatest upsets ever, because Michigan had kicked the Gophers' ass when they'd played them. And then they beat the Gophers 5-4 in overtime to win the national championship and basically saved Eastern hockey for the future, you know. So
interesting.
I had no idea, but I, ran across these.
Right.
You know, Jimmy Byrne was out there, and Dick Gordon, and these guys, and they were writing about, what are we going to do about the East? This is no fun.
Right.
Well, what are we going to do about the Big Ten now? My God, Colgate can't play against the Big Ten. The shocker was Harvard was supposed to be good, supposed to have more.
Yep.
It's supposed to be all NHL draft choices.
Yeah, they were.
And they 8-0. Oof. So, that was weird, but 36-4. There's never been anything like that.
Yeah, was it the second day of first round games? I watched just about a piece of every one of them, and they were awful.
The Gophers won 9-2, and that was the there was one other 7-goal victory, an 8-goal victory, and then Michigan 10, and they could have. Michigan was ahead about 8-1 and was, okay, they were going to let it sit like that. And then somebody butt-ended one of their players, so they started scoring five-minute major and started scoring
that
goals.
That Fantilli kid, the freshman, is fantastic.
Mm. Where's
Adam
he gone?
Fantilli.
Where's who?
I don't know who drafted
him.
You know what? That's a good question. But he is outstanding. In fact, I think he was Big Ten Player of the Year, which is pretty damn good when Nye's and Cooley are in your conference.
Yeah, right. Yes. I don't know where.
I was just checking.
Yeah, they had a tough time with Mighty Penn State, though. But
that was a fun game.
I don't know why. I like, you know, it's okay. Fargo's okay, but why are we going to Fargo? They don't have college hockey, and they got a 5,000-seat arena.
And North Dakota's the host, even though it's in Fargo.
Yes.
That's the other thing.
Teams don't want to have to go up to Grand Forks. I don't know.
Why don't we have it so that the regionals just fall with a real home team?
Yeah, I don't know. How much whining do you think would have taken place, though, if North Dakota had won the CCHA, I mean the NCHC,
yep,
and gotten into the tournament, and then they had put them in Fargo to play the Gophers? You think the Gophers would have whined, and not the Gophers themselves, but their fans would have whined about having to play North Dakota on what's basically their home ice?
Thank God to play them once in a regional that I covered in college, and it was,
we didn't think it was fair, right?
Yeah, North Dakota. I mean, it was, yeah, North Dakota was hosting the site. They were the one seed. St. Cloud was the three. And it was all, as you can imagine, a sea of black and green because
yes,
they had the, you know, they basically had a home ice advantage in that tiny arena too. It's 5,000,
yeah,
so it's
only 5,000.
It's loud when North Dakota scores.
Apparently, since you were there, they have. By the way, the last final they had there in that place, 5 overtimes. UMD and who?
Oh, I watched that.
That's right.
That game.
UMD,
yeah,
and somebody.
Yes.
That's the only thing I cared about. No overtime because we had a 9:15 deadline or something.
UMD has a history, though, going back to Costi and
back to
Bowling
search.
Green.
Going back
when
to
Louis
search.
Was with Tom Meese on ESPN, yes, right? And that game never ended.
Didn't they lose in 3 in the final and then a 4 in the semis the next year?
Mid-80s, though. It was Costi, and I think that was the whole teams, right?
Yeah, that was Search was the coach.
Yeah. They have a long history of that.
Oh, God, incredible overtime. That's the trouble. Now, last night we were playing for the Isabel Cup or Osoval or whatever the hell. Who is she, by the way? Who's the Northwestern?
The Whitecaps.
The Isabel. Isabel. Who's Isabel? Is it a person? Is it a ISOBEL?
I know what it is.
The Whitecaps.
It's the Lady Isabel, I think, Gathorn Hardy Cup, often shortened to Isabel Cup.
Okay, and Isabel was a big booster.
Named after Lady Isabel Gathorn Hardy, one of the first known women to play the game, and the daughter of Lord Stanley.
Really? Oh, okay, that's pretty
But now tricky. I have a question. How is that pronounced? That's actually a good point.
I don't know if it's Isabel, because it's...
I apologize if I'm wrong.
Yeah, but Lord Stanley's daughter. Okay.
Lord Stanley's daughter, yes.
Well, I happened to stumble across it, and... they were in overtime, and they played 20-minute overtime, but they started off 3-on-3. They started off 3-on-3. So
I saw the winning goal. Okay,
so they were flying. There were a lot of opportunities in the 5 minutes I watched, but we suffered our, even though.
Yeah, it was
we had a terrible season.
It was the 91 North Stars. That's what it was. They went and upset like Boston in Boston in a 3-gamer.
Yes.
Boston was superior. It was the 91 North Stars.
But how do we make the playoff when we didn't win any games? Does everybody go to the playoffs? I guess everybody must go to the playoffs.
Bad at home.
Hmm?
I guess the problem was bad at home.
We were bad at home.
At Richfield, our new arena.
We might have to go back downtown St.
Paul.
Yeah,
we sell beer now. We do like that.
Oh, we could sell beer.
Yeah,
okay.
we could sell beer at the new
Well, let's see, I got to give credit to the Star Tribune. We ignore a lot of stuff now, but we were all over the Ice Bowl Cup going into Zagoda, I believe it was stuck doing a story on the Ice Bowl Cup.
I saw the
And then the heartbreaking
preview
defeat. So
I've not seen today's paper yet, but I did see it.
But when I turned it on, they were interviewing someone from the between the end of regulation and the overtime, and it was a Broat. It was a Broat.
Oh, God, yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't Jack. And it wasn't,
no, we got a lot of Broats.
We got a Broats. Endless supply of Broats.
Here's my only complaint about that. Like,
every time I think of the Broat, I think of John C. John C. O'Reilly doing the bit that he does about the Broats. Did you?
I've never seen
that. I don't know that one. I know John C. Reilly well, but
He does this Steve. He does this character that's not very bright. Look it up, Broat.
Broat.
Look it up. The guy with the Broat. You know, he's claiming he's a C guy, but he says the number one thing is don't fall out of the Broat. But anyway, it was a Broat. They were interviewing. So we're.
Can the Toronto team not come up with a better nickname than the Six?
Six. Ooh,
that's my question.
I bet they love it. Yeah.
That reminds me of the old Star Tribune headlines.
Oh, sextets.
U5 gets past Michigan State.
Yes, in basketball. Cagers.
Yep.
Cagers
like
are
Cagers.
Five. And the hockey team was, wasn't Pucksters. What was it? What did they use?
I don't remember what, though.
But they had sextet was okay. Very popular. Yeah, sextet.
I just remember
Gopher sextet wins.
Like, I just would think that Toronto, of all places, all the hockey markets, rich with tradition of all sorts, could come up with something better than the amount of players that you have on the ice.
My introduction to being an actual sports writer, as you know, was the Duluth paper.
Mm-hmm.
And the Duluth, you wrote for two cycles, which was a tradition with Knight Ridder. You had the morning News Tribune, and then you had the Afternoon Herald. And the Herald, they would kind of slap the Herald together in the afternoon like we did in St. Paul with the Dispatch Sports. And they got a guy named Sid Peterson who'd been there for 1,000 years. And I would have to write the advance on high school basketball for Tuesdays and Fridays. Everybody just played the same days then. And, you know, you'd pick some out game. But it would be the advance but the headline. For 2 months, hot cage duels on tap tonight. 236 fit every time. Made no difference who was playing. You know,
it didn't really have to be a hot cage duel.
Duluth Central and East could be both unbeaten playing each other. Hot cage duels on tap tonight.
Hey, once you get something that works and fits,
yes, right.
Once you get a head count that fits,
and then 236 was not an easy one to fit.
Yeah.
You get about three, they'd be fairly
hot
short.
That's
hot
perfect.
Cage duels on tap tonight, and I think they would be within one character of each other, so it wasn't, you know, you didn't want to have one
right
line
one be
shorter
real,
than
no.
the other, but it was, yes, the old headlines in the that they came up for. What was but anyway, this is a hockey town now, man. How about your first place, Minnesota Wild? Is this, you know, 2003 they had the run and they were good in this. What were they, third? Where were they? And they ended up with a bunch of points, really, that team, right?
In 2003.
They had a good regular season.
Yes.
But we don't know what's going to happen in the postseason. But since then, this is the shock of shocks, isn't it, to have them be this good?
Yeah, what was the deal? So they won one division title. Was it the Northwest?
Yes, like 07-08.
And they got bounced in the first round, and I don't remember a lot about that team. Mm-hmm. But that's pre-Parisi and Suter. That had to be a very pleasant surprise at the time. But the way that these guys have come on, that's the thing.
Were the divisions smaller then, too?
They were smaller,
yes. They went to these basically
not
conferences.
As, yes.
Now, I mean, they went to the big 8-team division.
They were definitely smaller at the time.
So,
but that's back when they...
I remember we
Vancouver
had a little fun laughing at them that they made a big deal about putting up the banner because it was their first banner.
That's
right?
All they got.
Well, it still sits up there, right?
Yes, it does. And did you hear the breaking press release news from the Minnesota Wild today, what they announced? So they teased out that they had a major announcement and a press conference this afternoon. And, Patrick, we have established the Minnesota Wild Alumni Association.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But we couldn't reveal that until the press conference?
Apparently not.
Okay, so, but
we have enough players who played for him who lived in live in town now that we can have an alumni association.
Yes,
right?
It was created to help former players reconnect with their teammates and provide new opportunities and relationships with the current organization, both on and off the ice. And of course, we do have a quote from former captain Mikko Koivu. Quote, there are a lot of former players like me that continue to make Minnesota their home. I am excited to be part of the Minnesota Wild Alumni Association and look forward to connecting with alumni and working together on events, initiatives that will strengthen our connection in the community we live in.
They've had an alumni room for 20 years.
Yeah. You know who has an alumni association? The Gopher hockey team on the ice. Yes. There's some generational stuff going on here, isn't it? There's got to be 8, 9 guys that used to dad or brother played here.
Yes. Yes. That is a true one.
This is the last of the Brzezinskis, though, right?
Yes. This is,
the,
I
the
believe.
The Gophers have had two.
Until they start to have kids. And
yes, right.
And they cycle through to college.
Yeah, that's, but there's a, there is a lot of familiar names.
God, this kid was good, though, man, in this tournament.
Brzezinski, yeah. Nothing but goals. You know what? That Canisius, not that they were going to win the game or have any chance. That's one of the dumbest penalties I've ever seen made in my life. Leaving your skates to blast a guy 150 feet away from the net. What was that? He's from Switzerland. He must have been an Italian kid, but he's from Switzerland. He must have been
the guy who should have been pissed is the poor Canisius goaltender who until then had been fantastic.
Oh, yes, right. Then he ends up.
I saw some Jim Craig there for a while. Yeah. And then after that, it's like, see you later.
Yeah. It was not good. Oh, I got to mention one more thing about the Fargo Arena, Declan.
Yeah.
The press box. I don't know what box was when you had it, but
yeah.
They had two rows of 5 seats.
Yes.
And I would say I was tied for about the 4th biggest guy there, the widest guy. We had some wide asses in this place, and if somebody wanted to move, the whole place had to get up and move. It was unbelievable. And you can't see because everybody stands up when anything's going on.
Yeah.
So I can't recommend it as a place for an NCAA region.
I like it because it's smaller and it's intimate. I will say the press box is a little tough because, I had to call a couple games there and it was difficult. So you're not perched up. But then on TV, as Judd can, and you guys watched the first round of the games, I mean, those camera wells are high. I mean, they're up in those suites that I think are above that are above the normal general seating and whatnot. So it felt like you were watching that game from the GD roof, basically. I didn't love that aspect from the TV set.
No, it was not. I thought the same thing. I had deadline problems, so I watched the third period in the press box because I had to type it. I had no chance to type in that press box.
Oh, there was a press room?
Yeah, there was a press room.
Okay.
Press room was fine. So anyway.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
All right, opening day. We're drawing very close. Give me your enthusiasm after all the missives that we've seen on our Twins Fort Myers.
We've been very optimistic.
Yes. So you tell me, how excited are you?
I pretty much hate the lineup.
Okay.
Your optimum lineup, Arise leading off. He's not here. Hitting second, Correa. He's here.
Okay.
Hitting third, Blanco. He's not playing. Hitting fourth, Buxton. He's going to be the DH, and he's basically, if he hits like Miguel Sano again, they're in trouble. Hitting fifth, Alex Kirilloff for my team. He's not playing.
Yeah.
Miranda hitting sixth. Well, that would be now Miranda's going to have to hit in the middle of the lineup, right? Mm-hmm. And then after that, a bunch of guys, catcher, Larnach. Larnach's had a good spring. I guess he's, they've always liked him as a hitter. And then Kepler's back, and we'll see. But I don't like the lineup at all. I don't think they're going to score. Gallo, you got Gallo. Where is he going to hit? Sixth, seventh, fifth, sixth? I don't know. Maybe the guy's The guy hit 160 last year. He strikes out thousands of times. It's I don't like the lineup. I do not like the lineup, and the pitching's got a chance, but Maeda had a bad spring. Pablo Lopez looks like he's good. Sonny Gray will be competitive. You know, five right-handers. That's another thing. They have no balance in their pitching staff. They only have two lefties, and they're both, you know, the lefty. They got two lefty relievers, but they're – I think the team that they're playing opening weekend is going to be – I mean, is going to be much improved, Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of young guys, they outfielders you never heard of, but they like their pitching a lot better than they did last year when it was terrible. I got him for fourth. I got him for fourth right ahead of Detroit.
Wow.
Right ahead of Detroit. I got him. Cleveland, same old, you know, a little better than they were last year. Bieber's healthy. They let Bieber's pitch 6 1/3 innings yesterday.
Yeah, I know. You know,
we don't. They let him pitch.
That's being done around baseball.
They let him pitch along in the. They let him pitch longer in the Cactus League than we let our guys pitch in the regular season.
Sonny Gray noticed that, by the way.
Yes, by the way, had mentioned it. I don't know. What's to get excited about? And lineup-wise, nothing. They're going to – Michael A. Taylor. Why did I say A?
Because that's his name.
No, it's not. It's Michael Taylor.
You're conditioned.
The other guy, B, or whatever, he hadn't been in the league for 6 years. So bleep A. But anyway, you know what? Twice I've written that, and they put the A in there. The editors put the A. I'm going to put on top. Don't put a bleeping A in here in front of Taylor.
The desk at the Strip is not well-staffed enough to have time to catch that one.
That's right.
Tell him to catch the major stuff.
That's right. Don't worry about the A. But the guy can't hit. And obviously, basically, they've told us, Buxton's not going to play center field for 2 months, and they'll see.
Well, that's my question. When is he going to play?
Or is he going to play at all? Because Byron Buxton's a $100 million player when he's playing center field.
Yeah.
Or a $150 million player. When he's not playing center field, he's a glorified Miguel Sano. So,
but now we know why he got the contract he got and took
sure,
it.
Sure, yes, he took it because he was worried about his knee. But Polanco, that to me, okay, had some trouble last year. Did he get operated on?
I'd have to look.
Are they just waiting to cure the tendonitis?
See, that's the other problem. Our fellas,
our fellas don't have good luck with tendonitis.
No.
As has been proven.
Well,
with.
And is Kirilov going to play?
I don't know.
Like, this is a pain threshold thing now, and every time he comes back saying it's still not right.
I was told that basically he's going to have to realize this is it. He's going to have to hit this way. And he's trying, I guess, now.
Yeah.
He's trying.
I'm not even faulting him. I'm just saying it's a pain threshold.
But when you had a perfect swing at 5 years old,
right,
and now all of a sudden you're 25 and you're trying to hit major league pitching and it hurts, it's a worst thing that's happened to him because I think he's the middle of the order hitter for 10 years. That's him and her, you know, people talked about him and Royce Lewis. No comparison in hitting potential between those two guys. By the way, you know what? Royce, we were going to wait for you to replace Correa. Now we're waiting for you for next year to replace Buxton as the center fielder, right? Michael Taylor, who's here for 1 year.
That's how we're talking now, yes.
Yes, he's going to end up being a center fielder. I don't know. I don't. What's to get giddy about? I think the bullpen's going to be better. I listened to Gladdy and Morney for a while yesterday, and they're trying to get up optimistic, and you got to be. It's the start of the season. That's the way you're supposed to be. And if I was down there, I might have, you know, heard some things that would make me more optimistic. But looking at it from a distance, they're an under 500 team, in my opinion. So,
yeah, I mean, they're going to need – if they're not, the pitching is going to have to be much improved on both sides and their defense. Because that's the other thing that we don't talk about enough. Last year's ball club was a really dumb club. They didn't run the bases well.
Mm-hmm.
They were butchers far too often in the field. That's the other thing. Like, That's why
they went and got Taylor.
And Gallo.
Yeah, Gallo.
Because he can play, you know, he's going to play first base.
Yeah, well, I kept saying that they got him to play first base, and people, he's an outfielder. He's a gold glove outfielder. Well, he's a good first baseman, too.
Yeah.
He's a good defender. He's a terrible hitter. He gets some walks. Okay. But the last six box scores I've looked at, he's been either 0 for 2 or 0 for 3. When did he get his last hit?
I don't know.
We were stupid. As observers, we were stupid not to diagnose. Why did they do this?
Right.
Why did they get Gallo? Why did they do this when they have all these left-handed hitters? Because they need somebody to play first base.
Yep. Well, and the Taylor thing was,
that one was a big screaming headline.
Yeah, this whole thing of Jay Cave and then Celestino as the backup to Buxton, you need a guy that's a starter.
Yes, you do. But he's not a guy who peaked as a hitter about 4 years ago and has been going downhill ever since.
I guess to go get the ball is what I mean.
Right, and can strike out forever. But do they pinch hit for him in the eighth inning then? Are they going to have that, or are they just going to keep running him out up there and Gallo? How can you look at that lineup and say, wow?
You know? I don't think anyone is.
No.
I think the narrative now is pitching and defense. That's what wins. 2000, the Bomba Squad, that was all messed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, this is the... We're gonna be on the move a lot more. Well, I just texted Lavelle and Miller to say, have they told you who the leadoff hitter is yet? That's probably gonna be Kyle Farmer, mm-hmm. who was was a spare player in Cincinnati. He ended up playing a lot, but Gladdy and Morneau were attempting to get me excited about Kyle Farmer yesterday on the broadcast. His versatility.
But, yeah, because he's going to play a ton.
I'm sorry. I'm Nick Gordon. We might have seen the best he'll ever be as a hitter last year.
I guess I don't understand, and I didn't at the time, the desperate need to trade Arise.
Nope. I don't either. I did not. I mean, pitching, and obviously they didn't like. The guy, if he's good, then they can get away with it. But, boy, not having him at the top of the order, I have no idea who's going to lead off. I was thinking about that today, and I was trying to say, okay, who's – I know we don't look at leadoff.
I was going to say, yeah.
We don't look at it the way we used to, but you still want somebody in front of Correa, right?
Yeah.
You want somebody that's going to – be on base so Correa can send him to third with a base hit or score him with a double, don't you?
Yes.
So I don't like him. I've been wrong before both ways. I liked the team coming out of spring training in 2016, and they went 59-103. Mm-hmm. So got everybody hurt, but I don't know. It's you know what else about the Twins? They don't give much coverage in spring training anymore.
No, they don't.
The newspapers are there and they do their duty, but I don't know. Did any of the TV stations go down?
Yeah, Joe Schmidt went down early for Channel 5.
Joe did go down for Channel 5.
The rest of them I don't know.
I don't watch it enough, but I didn't hear.
There is little to no buzz.
Yeah.
I will say that.
And they're working hard trying to get so they can announce the sellout for the opener, but I don't think they have a chance. So, you got the Wild playing out of their mind.
Yep.
You got the Wolves entertaining as hell.
Yes.
Right. You know, you got the soccer fans who aren't going to go to any baseball games. So, it's going to be bad for them as far as buzz is concerned. And if the Wild goes on a long run, it's going to be worse, mm-hmm. Because if they get through a first round here, people are going to get excited. They haven't done it in, 6 years?
What, the Wild? Yeah.
Wild.
No, more than that, right? 8? I think it was around 15.
Was it 15?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time.
Well, if they end up winning this division, Then they get to play a bad team in the first round. So
yes. Right, they've got a real chance then.
Yes, yeah, they do.
Colorado, if they have to play Colorado first round, that's a tough ask. Mm-hmm. But if they get they would be the if they win the division, they'd be the second seed because I think the West is or the Pacific is going to have the top.
The Pacific's going to get what Seattle like, and somebody else are both going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, right now it looks like the Jets. And I think the Jets.
The Jets are terrible.
And I think it would be the top team in the Pacific against the Jets, probably. And so the Wild would probably get at this rate Seattle.
Mm-hmm. They can handle the Crackheads. Yep. We got the Crackheads here tonight, right?
It's a preview of the Crackheads.
The Crackheads have had a good season, though. They've been what has made them competitive?
Their goaltending is very suspect, but they could score goals.
Okay.
This kid that actually played at Michigan, Matty Beniers.
Mm-hmm.
He has been fantastic.
Really?
Yep. They can score some goals. And they're coached by Dave Hackstall.
Oh, really?
Who has to be absolutely apoplectic that his defense isn't better.
Oh, yeah.
Because Dave loves the defense.
Personality of the wall.
Oh,
but,
God, yeah.
I dealt with him just a little bit when he was in North Dakota. But now he got fired in where?
Philadelphia.
Got fired in Philadelphia?
And then became an assistant in Toronto.
Well, you can just get a job. You know,
oh, God,
once
yeah.
You've gotten a job and gotten fired in the NHL, you're in, man. You can't.
Networking, man. The key is networking.
Yeah, somebody that used to work with you will bring you in and know that you'll, if you're a general manager and you want to tell the coach what to do, if he's a guy who will listen, then you probably got a chance to get another job.
But if you're right and the Twins aren't that good, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's not going to matter what the Wild
does. It's like my weekly rant on the Gophers not playing St. Thomas in basketball because they think it would be embarrassing to lose. You're 2-17. You're embarrassed already.
And how about Dutch?
Yeah. How about Brian Dutcher? Could have been. You know what? He could have been the Gopher coach, but he wouldn't have went to the Final Four. Don't worry about it. It is amazing, though. It's old school basketball, man. Rebound, guard the hell out of you. You know, treat every basket like it's a goal in hockey, you know, and make it as physical as you possibly can, which is interesting because that was never the style that his dad's teams played here. And it wasn't really when they were good at Michigan. I can't remember how physical they were, but they had the Fab Five. So, but I'm great. He's really a good guy. So I'm happy for him. You know, I've had three fairly long talks with him. He's mm-hmm. a really good guy. What a Final Four, though.
Yeah, how about that?
It's going to be the worst watched Final Four in the history of man.
How about what this has done, the current state of college basketball? Like, this even more proves where it's at, too, though.
You know? Transfers, yeah.
Well, transfer portal and you know, the blue bloods are not there anymore.
No. All season, I was saying, what is going on here? Where are the really good teams? When Houston was rated number one,
mm-hmm.
they happened to be on TV one day, and they were rated number one half the season, right, or parts of the season.
Yep.
I watched them for 10 minutes. There was about three baskets scored. It was brutal. They won in the 50s. And you're thinking Houston. Fly slam a jamma. And they got a bunch of guys slogging up on the court, following the hell out of everybody. And it's terrible. And Florida Atlantic, you know, that guy will be, you know, they'll when they lose, 20 minutes later, somebody's going to announce him as the coach. I got a hunch that looking at that roster, I think, they might have relaxed their admission standards, don't you?
Well, they should have.
You know,
it's worked.
You know, I used to drive through that campus a lot when I'd go down and visit the grandkids because it would be a shortcut back to get to the freeway. Beautiful little camp, but it's an old, new, modern campus, you know, modern buildings. When my stepson Ryan was running the golf tournament down there, he knew all of them, all of Fort Lauderdale. They'd always have a tent at the senior event, and you know, he'd deal with it's almost, I texted him and said, you're almost an alum with this. He said, yeah, I used to know them all, but I think they probably all left by now because it was a 5-6 years ago, mm-hmm. so when he left there. But I mean, they come at you. They don't care. They're fearless. And B, these guys are good. I don't know. I think UConn's the favorite because the way they're kicking the hell out of everybody, where that came from, nobody knows. But I don't think anybody, if Florida Atlantic win, it'll be probably the biggest shocker since 63 when Little Loyola in Chicago won. Jerry Harkness and those guys, was it 60? Well, it was 61. Maybe it was 61. Loyola won it, and they beat Cincinnati in the finals. Mm-hmm. But it's been, 60 years since you had a team like this, a field like this.
Oh, yeah, this field's incredible.
But you know what? People are saying, and it's great, it's exciting. Nobody's going to watch. Their ratings have been down when they had Kentucky and Duke and those teams. So their TV ratings are going to be terrible.
This is very reflective of where the sport is just at. It really is.
Well, I said this on Twitter, but Larranaga is the perfect coach for Miami. He's a grandfatherly, quiet type, and you don't know that they're buying everybody. Yeah. They're buying players on both the women. They got some guy who gives them over $1 million to
isn't it great?
Go get recruits. You know, the one guy, the kid from Kansas, has got $400,000 for 2 years, the Kansas State transfer, and then another guy has got $100,000 and. Then you got the twins in the basket, the Cavan, what is
the sisters?
Name? The sisters, the Cavender girls, and is it Cavender who are making $800,000 a year on Instagram and stuff,
doing TikTok videos. It's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, the biggest opponents to our attempt to rein in TikTok because of the Chinese connections have got to be. Female athletes, right? Because they get the
The youth of America will explode if this is not allowed to continue.
Yes, it would be terrible.
The youth will not like that. So if the Lynx were to, they won't, but if they were to finish last a year from now, who goes first? Caitlin Clark or
Caitlin
or Paige, assuming they both come out?
Caitlin.
Okay.
Caitlin put more people in the seats. Yeah, every time you played a weekend game, you'd have 4,000 Iowans.
There. That's a good point. Man, is she? I mean, that last night, triple doubles. She's unbelievable.
She's good, and she is feisty.
Mm-hmm.
I
love it.
She's. If they end up playing South Carolina, though, Dawn Staley will have those monsters of hers beat the hell out of her. She's going to face the triple team.
She'll go down with a fight, though.
Oh, yeah. She will go down with a fight. Maybe an actual fight.
She doesn't put up with any crap.
South Carolina, though, is a different kind of beast. And you know who's back in? Kim Mulkey. Do you know anything about Kim? She coached, she was Baylor. Mm-hmm. She coached at Baylor. The craziest sideline person I've ever seen, including Bobby Knight. She's nuts, and she abuses the officials. I saw her for a minute yesterday. I clicked channels, and she was screaming. She was reaming out an official, and they all sit there and take it from her. Former great player when Louisiana Tech was the story, but she wears the high heels. She did anyway, and stomps them on the floor, and she's a nutcase. She's easy to hate, but LSU hired her away from Baylor, and they're in the Final Four. So somehow she gets her done. What are we missing here? Wolves, how about that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you watch it last night?
Watched the last 6-7 minutes.
That was a fun game.
Oh, God.
Like, it wasn't.
They've had a lot of great games.
It didn't look great, but that defense?
At the end, it was terrific. I mean, Kyle Anderson is. He's the secret sauce, man. It's unbelievable. He'll make a turnover here and there, but he knows what he's doing, and Connolly knows what he's doing.
Yep.
And Cat goes 3-for-14, looked terrible, but he makes the – I said, if you have two free throws to win a game at the end, you want him to be shooting them, and if you got a three-pointer to shoot real quick – at the end. What I love the fact that they didn't wait, that Anderson throws in the ball and it was like, you're open, shoot it.
Yep.
Because they could have screwed around for 8 seconds like they usually do and then end up, but you're wide open, you're shooting it in rhythm, shoot it. But yeah, they're fun to watch. Even when they stink, we talked about this. But Nas, it's a tragedy they're going to have to give him away.
The depth that they have now, that's the thing that gets me.
They got
me.
Deep depth.
They got deep depth,
as they used to say. And Prince, you know, he's the machine that beats the Knicks, and he only got, played 12 minutes or something.
Well, how about Jaden McDaniels had a god-awful night, but Steph Curry, you could barely see him on the floor for that last possession because he was so covered.
He's great defensively. McDaniels has got to start making clutch free throws. He's went to the line in game winning situations about 6 times. They've won some of those games, but he 1-for-2 is the best he's got. So I don't know.
But Ant and Cat were both awful last night, shooting wise.
Yeah,
and they still won the damn game because they played such good defense.
Yeah, it is very unusual to say the least. Now tonight the Kings might put 130 on them, but they get one more win on this road trip. If they got the Suns too, who have not been nearly as good as they were last year. If they squeeze one more out, but it is amazing how your two best players are not playing and you can still put a respectable product on that court.
Yes.
Which they did.
So. Yes. I think the fact that D'Lo is gone is helping don't you?
Yeah. Connolly, when he first came here, I mean, Connolly isn't a great defender, but he defended. He defended right. In game-winning situations. And, D'Lo is, he's an adult.
Right, that's exactly what I said.
He's an adult.
Yep, yep. He knows what he's supposed to do.
Yes, and he tries to do it.
Yep, exactly. All right, you good?
I think I'm good, yeah. Opener, it's not quite the same anticipation when you're opening on the road, is it? And they're gone for a week.
So, yeah, Kansas City, and then the arch rival, Marlins, with Louie for the second series.
Yes.
I hope he gets 8 hits.
they are going to miss that fella at the top of the order. That is for sure. I don't know how he's adjusting to being ready to hit with 8 seconds on the shot clock, though.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He isn't done walking around the
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Potentially not well.
He could get a lot of calls. He could get a lot of strikes called for stepping out of the box a second time. Uh-huh. So, all right. You have heard me discuss my relationship with Josh Arnold for some time. The reason I advocate that you give Josh a call is simple. Trust and results. Josh has seen it all when it comes to economic and market conditions. As has been said, through all of our relationship, past results do not guarantee future returns. And while that is true, Josh can make sure that your retirement objectives match your investments. You can understand that Josh will make sure you are not paying more in fees than you are seeing in returns. Yes, that is more common than you would like to think. Do yourself a favor and have a booking with Josh for the 48-minute free evaluation. This is a no-obligation meeting. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. You will be glad that you did.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Roycey is a paid endorser.